Trying to make a living off of one person. And, I ordered some, STJ wire on those, and then, I ordered some also, and then some two-wire plugs, you know, for the other, not better tools. And that's still cheaper than buying one of their pre-made cords now. I don't know. I just used to buy that stuff by the hundred, so I don't, you know, buy why that be anymore. So, that thing's going well where you were. Let's see, and where you're living at. I don't know where y'all got a bunch of cold weather or not, but W4SVAKG4N has the...
Yeah, we got a little bit of cold here. And it wasn't too bad today. Hold on a second. Alright. I'm paying too much attention to the meters here. Yeah, I shouldn't. Everything looks okay, but, yeah, we got some snow last night. About 6 inches of real wet, sticky snow. You know, the fat stuff that comes down and sticks to the side of a building. That's what we got. And, today, because, we had about 50 degrees, but, we're in, teens temperatures here next week. Maybe even single digits. I heard somebody say something about that. So, something to look forward to, right? And, well, we've had snow before this one we got last night. And so when the snow is gone, the mud comes up. It's one thing feed and hay has been a really a struggle. It always is this time of year because the mud gets deep. This weekend has been decent. Having a good time running a lot of AM here. During the rally, just kind of sitting back and having a good time. I know what you mean about having too much stuff. I got the same problem here. I got about 5 gallons worth, or 10 gallons worth of radio gear shoved in a 5 gallon size shack. And I've eaten it up considerably here in the past few months, but there's been no ham fests around to get rid of it. There's been no real good outlet to get rid of the stuff. And nobody wants to travel to pick up any of it, so I'm just kind of stuck with it until things open back up again and we can socialize. So that's what's been going on here. You're sounding good. I can't remember where you're located. I'm in up in the Shenandoah Valley, a little bit south of Harrisonburg, Virginia. KG4NVZW4SVA.
Yeah, I'm right here at Stanley, North Carolina, about 15 miles northwest of Charlotte. Do not confuse it with Stanley County, it's in Gaston County. And I miss seeing the cows over here, Mike. I was behind the house when I was younger, and then we were backed up to pasture there, and I used to... Sometimes when we moved over here, this is probably where I'm now, was, my wife's family had a dairy farm one time, which shut down, and they still had a few cows over it, and one used the pasture to raise some, veal. Cows out here, and calves, I should say, and kind of miss having the cows around a little bit. And I know sometimes I'd rather see the cows than people occasionally. That's pretty bad, I guess. But yeah, the pasture fence is right along the edge of my driveway here. Just go right outside the driveway, and there's the. About 25 feet from my house is the cows, so
Oh, that's gone now. Her grandmother got sick and had to go in a nursing home. They sold the, they had about 50 acres out here.
Counting
the lands where they grew corn and stuff, and kind of missed all that. You know, just
kind of getting crunched in here.
No, not too bad. Only single family houses, but you know, they try to put as many houses on the acres they can get from this one right here.
The only thing that keeps it from getting too crowded is the fact that every house has to have a well and a septic tank, and it's, they had to have at least a 3/4 acre right here for that. So, you know, so that's the only thing that limits how dense the housing is in this area. And so I just went by this side of the pasture, but I never could get anybody to. The guy that bought the property, he didn't want to sell this corner lot out here. And,
one house on it, right? That's about all you could put on it because there's a big old pile of rocks out there, probably as big as my house. I don't know where they were put from. Either the pasture land has kept piling up or whether it's a natural upheaval from the earth. I don't know which one it is. I never really knew because I'm thinking it possibly they were piled in there to get when they were clearing all the pasture land. They just piled on in one place to kind of look at them. You know, this ground here is real rocky around here, and if you dig digging, you got big rocks up. So a lot of iron in them. They're just irony rocks. And I got 24 to 36 built in here in this slap pool. I've got over 250, well, probably about 250 mile train engines plus the rolling stock and then train sets.
I have a handle
of one of those big things you see on the line on my site there in the corner near my workbench. And then the back of what I really hate about the machine shop area back here where I usually do my metalwork, and getting overtaken by inventory that I don't have room to pay for right now. It's like lamp sockets, using battery charger parts, and wheelchairs. Well, I'm in a wheelchair myself, so I save the wheelchair parts, but I mean just a whole lot of inventory back there that's kind of, I can't say it's dead. I mean, any other business would call it dead inventory, but that's what I kind of specialize in, is vintage crap. I want to repair things like sewing machines, things like that. I work on sewing machines also, and sometimes I'm working on a sewing machine. It might be well over 100 years old, so yeah, I just got through repairing a vintage radio that's rather old. In the 40s or 50s, or the oldest radio I've got was a 1928 Neutrodyne that I was listening to it earlier today, listening to old music on it. And there's still a couple of stations around here if you can catch them by the time of day, you can hear them. They play some vintage music. I was listening to that 1928 Neutrodyne. It's got, not a lot of volume, you know, it's a little one single output tube in it, and probably 3 or 4 watts. And you can, if you're a little cramped, you can get it from the house, but you got to be right up at it. That would improve if I ever get an antenna put up for it. I need about a 100-foot antenna. It would have all kinds of drive. It would drive that speaker all the crazy. But it's pretty good old radio. I just, I had to put a couple of interstage transformer in it when I got it, and I wrecked out. And, of course, Stan's passed now, but Stan down there in Florida, the tube man, I managed to buy 6 brand new 01A tubes of different brands and put in it to get it working, and built a power supply for it. And I used an old computer power supply,
and wired it where it would run without the computer. Mounted some terminals on it to run the filaments. If you give me the 5 volts that, for each one of those tubes, I think it's a 5 volt, 15 amp supply. That's what it amounted to, and that worked out good for the tubes. Or 5 volt, 10 amps. Anyway, it supplies the filaments to those thorated tungsten O1As. Works out real well. So, Chris there, W4, LCAKG4NVZ.
KG4NVZ, W4SVA, very good. Yeah, it's nice having cows as neighbors. Certainly nice of having cows as neighbors. They don't complain about anything. Changing here. Something's changing here. The tuning wants to change around a little bit. Something's going on. Yeah, they don't complain about much. They don't mind having an antenna strung up on their head. Pretty nice, friendly neighbors to have. An OP on the Neutrodyne. Yeah, I got a few three dialers here myself. At 1 inch. Actually, I've got some here in the shack on the shelf, just because I didn't have room for them. I think I kind of resort to an S1 Senior, I think. I can't remember the exact model. And a Stromberg Carlson, Neutrodyne, and various others. I think there's a Fried Eisman there on the shelf somewhere. Fun stuff to power up and play with. There's a few radio trees. Got a few of them sitting around, and Crosley, well, Ace Fines before they became Crosley, and various other things I'm probably forgetting about. Yeah, they're fun to play. I short together the feed line here at the shack sometimes and hook them up to the station antenna. That's a little bit too much antenna for those old things. They overload easy with that much antenna on them, and and of course, the tuning is very broad once you've done that. The stations kind of went over top of each other. With a proper 100-foot antenna, yeah, they look pretty decent for what they are. And it's a shame about Stan, the tube man down there in Florida. Yeah, he used to come to Frostfest up here in Richmond, Virginia every year. And I noticed last year he was not there. And then I later learned that he passed away. Very unfortunate. He's going to be very much missed. Last I heard, they didn't know what they were going to do with that humongous inventory he had. I don't know if anything has been done with him. It's still sitting there, kind of languishing away. He certainly had one ginormous, I don't know any other word to describe it, ginormous collection of tubes. I wonder if you've ever tried rejuvenating the Dot-1A tubes, the thorated tungsten tubes. Crank the filament voltage up on them and let them bake for a while to oil some more electrons to the surface of the tank. I know that's not exactly what happens, but that's the way I describe it, boiling new electrons to the surface. I've had a few weak ones here, tried that on. Yeah, it did work. I don't know how long it would last compared to a good tube, but it did make a difference temporarily. But yeah, that I've got a few other antique radios sitting around. 30 stuff, cathedrals, a few consoles, RCM 16K, which was top of the line for, I think it was 37 or 38. 16 tubes, push-pull 6L6 in the output. And what's really neat, it has motorized tuning, motorized push-button tuning. The selection station drives the pointer across the dial until it reaches the preset. That's always fun to play with. Yeah, too much stuff. It's easy to accumulate this stuff. Hard to get rid of, especially this past year. There's no outlet for it. And I picked up quite a few things in local auctions to kind of save it from being parted out on eBay and sold to the Asian audio market. And a bunch of military shipboard receivers, RBA, RBB, RBC, I wanted one cent for the shack, and I ended up getting most of them that were at that auction. Because the guy bidding against me, I learned was going to pull the knobs off of them and sell them on eBay. But, no, that's not going to happen. And those are two guys that refused to let that happen. So I bid against him. I figured, well, if I can get them at a reasonable price, I'll buy them just to save them. And ended up getting most of them. The next deer at the shack taking up room. I need to find a home for them. I'd just like to get them to somebody who will appreciate them. They're not looking to make anything off of them. So yeah, you know the same problem. Crap accumulates. And also collect antique tractors, hit and miss engines, antique farm stuff, and have a few antique cars here too. Some 1920s Dodge Brothers, 1912 Buick, and some Model T crap later on. That stuff is still real common. It almost falls out of the sky. It's amazing how much Model T. I think they made 15 million cars or something like that. And so the parts are still laying around in barns and stuff. So they have the swap meet kind of local, semi-local, in Luray, Virginia, every year for Model T stuff. And there's also some other stuff there too, but it's mostly Model T stuff. 5 gallon bucket, everything full of rusty Model T parts. People just run out of barns and they trade and swap and stuff. And it's a lot of fun. What time? It's 9:40. I'll take it back over to you for one more minute, and I think I'm going to take a little bit of a break. I've had a lot of radio time this weekend. I think I'll sit back and listen to it. KG4NBZ, W4SVA.
W4SVA, KG4NBZ. Yeah, I thought it was close by. I think it was a receiver or something. You can be used here. I had a guy come by and give me a junk man. He's getting ready to throw the thing out. It's beautiful. I mean, it didn't have no scratches on it. Immaculate shape. The guy was going to throw it out in the junk. He guy cleans the building. The guy cleans buildings out for people. And he's been here years. I think something must have happened to him, but he comes out here one day. He's like, I was thinking about you, and I was thinking about something to throw this away. And he was there, you know, helicopter, you see, General Kelly, you say, with a building, SX-101. The 101 I had to do a lot of work to get it. The 101 was not in the right case. I had to cut a hole in the bottom of it for the access plate, which is not the best thing to do, but they had no. I don't know what was in that case before. It's the right case as far as the shape and size and what it's supposed to be, but evidently it was. May have been made for a matching transmitter or something. That's why I got the cases swapped or something. But it had only two or three access holes in the bottom of it. It needed like three rows of coils in there, you know, for each band, and you know, and one for the oscillator, one row of coils for the oscillator and the mixer and the bulb, you know, and the RF amp. And I couldn't get access to those to get them tuned properly. You know, I'd take it out, try to tune it, and put it back in place, and I was changed. So I had to do something about that capacitance. I tried to figure out somebody to simulate the stray capacitance, but kind of find out what was wrong. The bandwidth was 40 meters was off. I never could get it. One way or another on each end, and so I got to research and got to look at it. Somebody had put somebody had replaced a silver mic in the oscillator coil, and instead of it being 5, they put like a 50 in it or something. I don't know. So anyway, it's way too much for what it needed, and once I put the right proper capacitor back in that, so everything, the bandwidth come back up where it's supposed to be, and I could get it within inside the bands. Band range, but like I said, when I was trying to line 40, it would run off one end of the band or the other, you know, and keep getting, you know, they can't get their incrementation properly on it, so.
Yeah, I got that one.
I didn't know somebody really messed with it that much, and so, right here I use Hamlin HQ129, receiver. I have to find me another case, and I've got one of those that don't have a case, and they're not really immaculate. I mean, the one I'm using right here, listen to you on, somehow not put the wrong knob on it and rubbed a bit of the paint off, you know, the band spread, that rubbed the word spread off of it. In this case, and everything would be immaculate, it would look good. But somebody had put the wrong knobs on this receiver here. And the other one, HQ129, I picked it up. It was just a chassis. It had most of the tubes in it. I was at the Shelby Ham Fest, and I think I gave like $8 for it. After nothing but the tubes, he says, you can just have it, and they'll give me $5 or something, or $8 or $10. But anyway, it was ridiculous. I brought home, recapped, and got it from, I use it out of the chassis, you know, and it's set on the shelf up there for my hunting. I use it on and this reset, the other same model. I keep it down on 80 meters, and then I've got a DX. I've got three DX60s with different mods. One no mod is on, just pretty much factory, and then I've got one that I'm using here that I've done some audio mods on, and then turn the jack in the front. It always says key, and then the push to. And it's not a old code key anymore, and then the. Other one I done the same thing did, except audio mods, and then except I put a power control where I can change the output carrier on it, you know, the resting wattage, so that I could put it into a small amplifier. Yeah. I took an old CB amplifier and gutted it out, took the two driver tubes out of it, and used 4/6 LB6s and made it 40 and 80 meters in it. A four position switch, and it had 10 meters in it, which, you know, wasn't 10 meters. It was 27 megs, but I took done away with all that, and I stripped, like I said, the driver circuit out of it, which had two driving four tubes, and basically turned it into a high drive amplifier. And you put about a couple watts into it, and it'll give me about 100 watts out carrier, and then it'll modulate up when you're modulating the screen modulator, it'll go on up to about 400 watts, so it's a little old desktop, it's a little pound bar or something, that was pretty well ratted out. I took the whole thing apart and actually washed the chassis and everything, and it's about the same size physically as the DX60, it just don't match it, but apparently it probably kind of sits down on the floor or somewhere, so and the cable, the tether to the cable to the top. I made that amp to go with a little DX60 station, just to have something different. Well, let me turn it back over to you. Something's getting long-winded here, so gosh, I tend to do that. W4SVA, KG4MVZ.
Did KG4NVZ, W4SVA. Yeah, the DX60 makes a nice exciting.